and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The Supreme Court has preserved women's access to a medication that is the most common method of abortion during early pregnancy. CBS News chief legal correspondent Jan Crawford.
It was shortly after 6:30 Eastern time. The justices released this one paragraph, brief, unsigned order saying that they are pausing that lower court judge's ruling, which would have taken the drug off the market for abortion. They're pausing that while these appeals play out. The long term means it's far from over.
The drug mifepristone was approved by the FDA more than 20 years ago and has been used by more than 5 million women. Students in Florida walked out of school yesterday to protest new restrictions on classroom discussions of sexual orientation and gender identity. Here's CBS's Mark Strassman.
For these folks, this is almost flat-out censorship. They blame DeSantis for not only skewing education, but not reaching people who are particularly vulnerable, who need to learn about who they are, what their history is all about, and are going to have a much tougher road ahead because of what he has denied them.
Critics believe the policies are about the governor's higher political ambitions. Prosecutors have decided to drop the involuntary manslaughter charge against actor Alec Baldwin in a movie set shooting death. But that's not the end of it. More from CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
Prosecutors say the decision does not absolve Baldwin of criminal culpability and charges may be refiled. Charges have not been dropped against Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, the armorer in charge of the weapons on set. Her lawyers say they expect her to be exonerated.
Prosecutors maintain the death of the film's cinematographer was preventable and criminal. Today is Earth Day, and the event this year is focused on the need to invest in our planet.
This year's theme for Earth Day encourages governments, businesses, and individuals to take action collectively.
There needs to be technological advancements, sustainability, renewable energy. These do represent some opportunities as well.
Kathy Anderson with the Walden Woods Project.
I see Earth Day as a very pivotal event, one of the first events that really engage a world population.
EarthDay.org's Aiden Sharon.
Just go out and do something for the planet rather than just for yourself.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
A new CBS News poll finds climate change is both a generational and politically divisive issue.
91% of Democrats, along with most independents, say climate change needs to be addressed now or in the next few years. But just 44% of Republicans feel that sense of urgency.
This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. You're driving along and some nimrod cuts you off. You hit the horn. Jeez, it sounds like a goose in distress. Time to head over to eBay Motors. They have horns for every make and model, not to mention horn pads, steering wheels, wiring, and more. 122 million parts. You can even go for an upgrade. That looks like Mr. Cutoff Man needs a new seat cover. Try eBay Motors, pal. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 42. Today, under cloudy skies, with snow likely becoming mixed precipitation. Northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast, tonight, chance of snow showers, lows around 28. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, chance for mixed precipitation, highs level off around 44. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. Find out about their upcoming DU Expo at duckexpo.com. By the Castle Rock Peatonwell Lakes Association, castlerock-peatonwell.com. And by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, woodsideranch.com. I'm Dan Small. Today we'll get a Lake Michigan fishing report from Dumper Dan Welsh. DNR fisheries biologist Jordan Weeks reports on Asian carp in the Mississippi River. And Jeff Nanier returns to talk about Aldo Leopold's double-barrel shotgun. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its client. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has paid thousands of dollars in rewards to help solve crimes in the Milwaukee area. Michael Hupe is the president of Milwaukee Crime Stoppers, and he's offering a $25,000 reward for the next anonymous tip that solves a homicide case. So if you've got a tip on an unsolved homicide case, visit MilwaukeeCrimeStoppers.com. Jeff Kelm is in Monroe, Michigan this week for a Masters Walleye Circuit Tournament on Lake Erie, and we'll get his report on that event next week. And this Saturday, for most listeners, that's today, April 22nd, is the 53rd annual Earth Day. There are Earth Day events throughout the country this weekend and throughout the month of April. Here in Wisconsin, check the DNR website events page for events in state parks and other properties. Last week we told you we'd report on the spring fish and game hearings. Well, the results are in. More than 11,000 people voted. Most were Wisconsin residents, and fewer than 1,000 were from somewhere else. You can see the results on the DNR website under the keywords spring hearings. Here are a few questions that I thought it'd be worth mentioning. Question 2, expand the youth deer season to 4 days. It was a very close vote. It was defeated by about 200 votes, 3,400 yes, 3,600 no. Question 9, opening the muskie season statewide on the first Saturday in May, the vote was 3-1 in favor. Question 58, increase the youth turkey hunt to 4 days, almost 2-1 in favor. There were several questions on more restrictive regulations on wake boats, and those passed generally 3-1, 6,000 yes, 2,000 no. There was a proposal about a grouse stamp that passed 2-1, 4,800 to 2,100. And requiring blaze orange for upland bird hunting received a favorable vote of 4,700 versus 2,000 no's. It's been a couple of years since I took a group to Ballard's Black Island Resort on Lake of the Woods, but I'll be going again this year now that Canada has opened up to American visitors. The dates are September 11 through 15. It includes 4 nights on Black Island, 3 days of guided fishing. All meals are included, and the trip will be limited to 12 guests, so it could fill fast. The cost is $1,500 per person. I'll have more information next week on how you can register, so check your calendar. Send me a Facebook message or email dsoradio@gmail.com if you're interested, and I'll hold a spot for you. Coming up, Jeff Nanier returns to tell us why a side-by-side double barrel is a good shotgun choice. Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist Jordan Weeks talks about invasive carp in the Mississippi River. We'll kick things off with Captain Dumper Dan Welsh and our first Lake Michigan fishing report for Sheboygan. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
Flo has made world-class recreational and utility trailers for 40 years, and the industry-leading innovations keep on coming. Choose an all-aluminum UT model or Cargo Max, the only utility trailer with a molded polymer bed, integrated sides, and an engineered aluminum frame. With either one, you'll know you don't have just any old trailer. If a new trailer is on your mind, check out FLOEINTL.com. Flo Trailers, where the rubber meets the road.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, seven wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Well, we're kicking off our annual series of Lake Michigan fishing reports from the Port of Sheboygan, presented by Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store right there on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan. His website is DumperDan.com, and you can find him on Facebook as well at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, where he posts fishing reports and photos of catches by his six-boat fleet, and these conversations that he and I are going to have pretty much every other week now will also be posted on his Facebook page. So he's joining us now from Sheboygan. Dumper Dan Welch, welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it, and it's great to be back and looking forward to the 2023 open water season here. We're very anxious and been a long winter for most, and yeah, really excited to get the ball rolling here on Lake Michigan.
Well, it's still winter here in southwest Wisconsin. We're recording this early in the week, and we got a dump of snow on Sunday. I spent half of Monday moving it around, but I guess it missed you, huh?
It did miss Sheboygan. We got a little bit of rain out of it here on the lakeshore and a little bit of snow, just a dusting, but it's cold and windy once again. And last week was just a breath of fresh air. I mean, the whole Midwest was unbelievably warm in the 80s and low 90s, and it really got everybody rolling here and some boats out on the water all over the place from the Winnebago system to Lake Michigan, Green Bay, and that was nice for early April. But, you know, now we're back in a little bit of cold and a little bit of wind, but yeah, we know that'll change here as we roll into May.
Absolutely. Now, when will you put your boats in the water this year?
We're going in the water actually next week. We always go in about the third week of April. I mean, in the past, over the years, I went in like Easter weekend and early April and things like that. But with the weather the way it is, it's just too iffy, and I don't want customers to travel all the way over here not to get on the lake because of, you know, windy, cold conditions. So late April, always the third week of April, we'll put the fleet of Dumper Dan boats in. We've been working on them all winter in my heated shop, and they look fantastic. They're spotless. They look showroom perfect right now. And new upholstery, we did some engine work, buffing, waxing, cleaning, bottom painting. So we're ready to go. Phone's been ringing. A lot of guys have been making reservations already throughout the winter, so it's all looking good.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I know some folks have been fishing in this warm weather we had last week and even before, so what do you hear?
Brown trout trout fishing's been pretty good along the lakeshore here. In fact, I did get out, Zach and I went out, my son fished brown trout off Whistling Straits here, 10 to 15, 18 feet of water close to shore this past week during this warm snap. Water temperatures are warmer than normal, which is good to see, and the brown trout have been biting here off Sheboygan. Now, I heard the coho bite south of here is starting up early already on the state line and from Illinois into Wisconsin, so that's early already for being early to mid-April. So I think everything's going to come a little early this year. The water temperature is 45, 46 degrees already off Sheboygan, so looking forward to getting a fleet of boats in and get rolling here. I think it's going to be a good season, and we need warm water. I mean, usually it's pretty cold in the spring, and we're going to be off to a good start. We are already, and there was a lot of private boats out this last week, too, besides myself, and they were landing some nice brown trout as well.
Good. Now, I understand the DNR put some young Chinooks in your net pens again last week, and you had to deal with them in a different way than you expected to, right?
Yeah, we did, and just like I mentioned, water temperatures, when we received them on a Monday, the water temp in the Sheboygan River was 49 degrees, and then we had that warm snap and a little bit of rain runoff, and the temperatures in the river went up to 60 degrees. And 3 days later, we had to release them. So we had to release them because the DNR tells us when the water gets to 60 degrees, we have to let them fish go, and we did. And there again, 60 degree in the river, the lakes, 46 degrees, like I mentioned, give or take a few degrees. Luckily, we could keep them enough that, they kind of get accustomed to our river system. We fed them for 3 days and let them go. So they're out in the lake. They also put fish, Chinook salmon fingerlings, up below the Kohler Dam after they gave us their net pen fish. So altogether, the number was just over 150,000 Chinook salmon just for Sheboygan alone, which is the biggest number we've had in a long, long time. So that's a good number of fish just for the Port of Sheboygan alone.
Well, that's great. Now, those fish are younger than you would normally let them go, and how is that going to affect their surviving?
Well, it's like the fish that they did let go besides the ones in the net pen, upriver. So they'll survive like them fish do. It's just that the purpose for the net pens is to let them grow a little bit larger, release them right before dark, and get them more accustomed to coming back to where they were planted. And that's why you hold them for 2 to 3 weeks. We lost out on a little bit of that, but survival-wise should be the same as the other fish that were all released. And I think we'll be fine that way. And hopefully they all come back to our port, in 4 years when they spawn, and we have a good fall fishery.
And you mentioned before we started recording that you're not seeing many gulls or cormorants or other predators that might be eating those fish.
Exactly, and I was actually, Zach and I were out, brown trout fishing the day prior to releasing them fish, and I even said to him, we didn't see any seagulls anywhere, we didn't see any cormorants yet, they're not here yet. It might have been a blessing in disguise to let them fish go now, because I think the survival rate will even be better because of no birds around yet. It's just a little too early for that.
Yeah, well, that's good. Now, you say that your phone's been ringing. If people want to book with you, what's the plan?
The best way, Dan, is talk to you. All the reservations come through me, Dumper Dan, and I can customize all your packages the way you want. But call me, my cell. I take all the calls at 920-377-1147. Always go to our website, check it out, dumperdan.com. And on the website homepage, you can link over to our Facebook page, which is, as you know, always active with fishing reports and news and weather and this and that. So 920-377-1147, dumperdan.com, or our Facebook page, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters.
All righty. And I'm sure you've got openings.
We do, yeah. I mean, we got a long ways to go and a lot of dates to fill yet, but everything's going in the right direction. People are eager to get their vacation plans made ahead of time, and I highly recommend that because we do fill up. I mean, the month of June, July, and August, we're running a lot of trips, 7 days a week, every day, so even with 6 boats. So get your plans, get a hold of me, let's get it done and get you guys out here.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you so much for that report. We will talk to you in, I think, 2 weeks. Unless something exciting happens and we want to do it in a week. Meanwhile, you'll have your boats in, you'll be out there fishing, and you'll be able to let us know how things are going.
Yeah, you bet. We'll get you some current reports from the charter boats, and yeah, everything will be rolling in the right direction then, and we'll have the boats out. And like you mentioned too, Dan, we're going to do every other week. Sometimes we do every week, so we'll see how it goes and try and keep everybody informed. What's going on in the big lake, Lake Michigan, here out of the Port of Sheboygan all summer long.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Dan. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Dumper Dan Welch with the Lake Michigan Fishing Report out of Sheboygan, the first one of the season, brought to you by his charter business, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store, located on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan. Website, as he mentioned, DumperDan.com, Facebook, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, and we will post this interview on his Facebook page very soon. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining us now is Jordan Weeks. He is the Mississippi River Fish Team leader for the Wisconsin DNR. Jordan, thanks for joining us and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Thanks, Dan. Happy to be here.
Most of our listeners have heard about invasive Asian carp, and they know that some of these fish have turned up in the Mississippi River. Before we get into details, what species are we talking about?
Well, there are actually three species of invasive carp that we're really concerned with. And if you wanted to add a fourth that's been around, there's a fourth. So the two big ones are the silver and the big head, and those are the ones most listeners may have seen that jump out of the water and potentially hit people and get spooked by boat motors. The other invasive carp would be the black carp and then the grass carp, or the four invasive carp. And I guess if you wanted to add in the common carp that's been here forever, they're the other of the five.
Okay, so five species, the common European carp that has been here for more than 100 years is kind of well established. These others, though, are considered more invasive. Where did they come from?
Well, they all come from Asia, and they've been brought here at different periods of time for different reasons. The grass carp was probably here the next longest after the common carp, and they were brought here to eat vegetation that was undesirable in certain water bodies. The black, silver, and big head carps were all brought here in similar fashions for various reasons. I'm not exactly sure why the black carp was brought here, but the big head and silvers were brought here by aquaculture farms in the southern U.S. They were brought here to clean algae in their catfish ponds, and it worked out really well until those ponds flooded and the invasive carp escaped to the Mississippi River Basin.
Okay, and they've been spreading ever since that happened.
Correct, yeah, and that was in the 1970s that occurred, so It's taken a while.
Yeah, okay. Why are they a concern?
For a number of reasons. First of all, they are a filter feeder, and they eat our zooplankton, phytoplankton, and algae in the water. And those critters, those algae and planktons in our waters also feed some of our native fishes, right? So they're a direct competitor for our native fishes like paddlefish and some of the other planktivores that eat small. And juvenile game fish species, some of them eat zooplankton and phytoplankton as well. The other thing is they are a threat to the biota and biomass in whatever water body that they're in. So if you think of the Mississippi River, there are only so many fish that can live there. It doesn't matter what type of species there are. And just to use round numbers, let's just say there are 100 units of that fish that are able to live in the Mississippi. If invasive carp take hold in this area, they may take up 50% of those units in the Mississippi River, leaving only 50% of the units or 50 units left over for our native fishes. So they basically displace our native fishes, and they also compete for some of the food resources with our native fishes.
Okay. Now, we've heard recent reports of especially silver carp being found in places in the river where you haven't found them before or where others haven't found them before. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's not so much that they haven't found them there before. What's most concerning is that we haven't found them in the abundance that we're finding them recently. And there's two real events that stand out in my mind. Back in 2020, March of 2020, a local commercial fisherman in La Crosse captured 39 silver and hybrid silver big head carp along with 10 grass carp in their commercial fishing activities. And then on March 20th, the Minnesota DNR, with their contracted commercial fishermen, captured 30 more up in Pool 6, which is near Winona, Minnesota.
Okay, now that's March 20th of this year, so that recent
Correct.
Capture was this year.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. And they were mostly silvers. I didn't know they could hybridize with big heads, but that's not a good thing.
It is actually fairly common.
All right. Well, I have seen them in person on the Illinois River and down in Arkansas, where people bowfish for them, and I've done it, where you motor up along and you shoot them as they jump in the air. It's exciting, but boy, when you see those tremendous numbers and you get hit by one, it's not so much fun. Are you concerned, or is the DNR, or is the Fish and Wildlife Service concerned about these recent catches of more fish?
Yeah, I think it is concerning. Obviously, we would rather not have these beasts in our waters, especially in the Mississippi River at all. It is concerning that we are starting to see these larger numbers. What will be more concerning is if we do document some sort of natural reproduction of these fish in the Mississippi River, which we have not yet done. That seems to be the indicator where you go from just a few observations or a relatively small number of individuals to large number of individuals really fast.
Is there anything that can be done about it?
Up till now, there's a lot of research that's been performed on various techniques, barriers to stop their upstream movement. There have been some piscicides. There have been research on reproductive inhibitors, but none of them have really given us a silver bullet yet to be able to stop these things. The best one is probably barriers, and we continue to work with various folks on ideas on how to improve barriers to stop the movement of these fish.
But a barrier on a body of water that is as big as the Mississippi, as wide as the river, and where the level goes up, I mean, right now we're in flood stage or close to it. Does that even seem practical?
Well, they have shown promise in a number of different instances. However, you are correct. When you get flood stage waters, the gates on all the locks and dams on the Mississippi are wide open right now. And we do tend to see more upstream movement of these invasive carps when we do have the locks and dams open. That's why we believe that first instance, that first large capture I mentioned in 2020, we believe that's why that happened, because 2019, if you remember, Dan, the river was basically at flood stage all year,
mm-hmm.
and the locks and dams were wide open all year, and we found that a large number of those fish swam upstream from more heavily populated waters down in Iowa and Illinois.
Now, if they're not reproducing, what happens? The adults live a few years, and then they die, and then they're gone?
I am not the expert on invasive carp, but I believe they can live up to about 20 years.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're fairly long-lived fish. Our best hope is that they won't reproduce up here, and we'll have a number of adults that we can hopefully control through removals, and they won't impact us like what you described down on the Illinois River, where they're hitting you in the head when you're driving your boat.
Yeah, it's just crazy down there. Is there anything that the average angler or boater can do?
Well, I think the biggest thing for the public to understand is that we want to know where these observations are. So if you observe these fish flying out of the water and you can determine that they're not one of our native fishes, it's very valuable to let someone in the Wisconsin or Minnesota Department of Natural Resources know about it. We can be found pretty easily with a Google search.
Mm-hmm.
My name for sure will come up, and you'll get my phone number or email, and you can shoot me an email saying, hey, you know, I was near the Dresbach Dam and I saw this, and could you go check it out? And those things are the most helpful that the general public can do right now. Just tell us about any observations that they may have.
Okay. And are you continuing monitoring them through the commercial netters that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. The Minnesota contract commercial fishermen, they're out on a very frequent basis, and they are working in the Mississippi between Minnesota and Wisconsin, anywhere from pool, I want to say 4, all the way down to 9. And they're out there looking for these schools of invasive carp. Along with that, the Minnesota DNR, Wisconsin DNR, USGS, which is the Geological Survey, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the National Park Service, and some of our partners along the river have been doing what's called a modified unified method. If you could think of it as a glorified deer drive in a river.
Okay.
So what that is we basically take large block nets and try to clear an area using sound and electricity. So we'll try to herd these fish out of an area, then block it off with a block net and keep blocking off smaller areas until we can get them in a location where we can run a seine around and pull that seine in. And we've done four of those thus far, and we're getting ready to do our fifth. It was supposed to be next week. With this high water, we can't do it, so it'll be sometime in May where we try to do our fifth modified unified method, which we've had some amount of success. Not every time have we been successful, but several times we've caught a number of fish doing these modified unified methods.
Well, maybe we'll check in with you again after you do that and see if you found anything that's worth reporting.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be great.
All right. Is there anything else our listeners should know?
I think that we covered most of it, Dan. I mean, it's important to let us know when they observe these things. It's important not to get too excited about them at this point because we don't believe that they're reproducing in Wisconsin waters at this point. And we'll have to continue to monitor that and hopefully come up with a way to control these fish.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and we will keep in touch and perhaps have you on again after your attempt to corral some more in May.
Sounds good, Dan. Thank you.
You bet. Jordan Weeks is the Mississippi River Fish Team Leader for the Wisconsin DNR. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Escanaba, and Houghton. We at Remy Battery Company want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the past 90-plus years and your continued support of our local, family-owned company. Stop in and see the expertise of over 9 decades of battery knowledge and customer service. Let us take care of the batteries for all of your needs, from power tools to sump pumps and ATVs to hunting decoys, even down to the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or waters. Don't forget to ask your sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
Introducing the all-new OutdoorNews.com, the most trusted source for all things out of doors in the Great Lakes region, just got better. At OutdoorNews.com, you'll now have full access to every outdoor news story, breaking news and updates, our comprehensive fishing and hunting reports, pro tips, and much more for our seven-state region and beyond. Top hunters and anglers look to Outdoor News to keep them up to date and ahead of the crowd. Now it's easier than ever with the all-new OutdoorNews.com.
If your rifle, shotgun, handgun, or muzzleloader needs work this season, call Roger Williams at Northern Magnetic LLC. A licensed professional gunsmith for over 35 years, Roger can repair, customize, rebarrel, install sights and scope mounts, and more on all firearms makes and models. When you need a professional gunsmith, call Roger at 262-339-1798 or visit fixguns.com. That's 262-339-1798 or fixguns.com.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at castlerock-petenwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Petenwell Lakes Association.
Join Dr. Tracy Kreider at Family Natural Foods on Tuesday, April 25th from 5 to 6 as she discusses digestive health, gut immunity, and what you can do to improve your overall health. Mark your calendar for April 25th from 5 to 6 at Family Natural Foods, 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
I'm talking with conservationist and mystery novelist Jeff Nania, and Jeff just mentioned to me that he likes double-barrel shotguns. And Jeff, I know you do because you did a story on Aldo Leopold's shotgun, which is a remarkable gun in itself, besides the story of the surrounding Leopold and how he got it.
I'm a fan of double-barrel shotguns. I enjoy these classic American-made, although I've got some non-American-made guns. They're wonderful pieces of American craftsmanship. And so I hunt everything I hunt with double-barrel shotguns.
Even turkeys?
Well, I have a 1911. I bought it on the Wisconsin State Surplus site several years ago. It was in pieces, and it was a long-barreled, 30-inch barreled 1911 L.C. Smith shotgun. I went down to the surplus sales and looked it over, and although it was in several baskets, it looked like all the pieces were there.
Okay.
So I bought it, and I brought it home and took it to my shop and began the process of making it functional again. It's not only functional, but it shoots great.
Okay.
I use it for turkey hunting. The story of the cartridges I use for turkey hunting is a great story.
What do you use?
Well, my dad died very young, but was a champion skeet shooter.
Okay.
And each winter, he would sit his boys down and we would box shells that he would load on a single stage press. At the time, lead shot was legal for hunting waterfowl, and my dad had a load that he believed strongly in. It was a high brass number 5 Lubaloy load with Alcan number 7 powder.
Okay.
That he would load each one and we would dip them in wax. My dad passed away. My mother moved out of her house, and there in the attic was a military ammunition can. And I opened it up, and there was a whole can full of those Lubaloy number 5 rounds.
Okay.
My guess is they were loaded in the early 60s. So I took them home. I've got a small range on my farm, and I took them home, and I shot them in a regular shotgun, and by God, they shot great. And I thought, well, I can try them in this L.C. Smith, and they're certainly within that pressure range, and they shoot perfectly. So I've used them for hunting turkeys, and it's great fun. I've also hunted pheasants with those loads sometimes. So that 1911 is one of several L.C. Smith shotguns. You know, Dan, I got to tell you, your listeners, you know, have their own religious affiliations, I'm sure. But here's the reason you have to shoot a double-barrel shotgun.
Okay.
If God wanted you to shoot a single-barrel shotgun,
He'd have given you one eye, right?
Right in the middle of your forehead. He didn't. If he wanted you to shoot an over-under, you'd have two eyes, one on top of the other. He wanted you to shoot double barrels, two eyes side by side. I don't need to argue anymore. Great. And I've spent a lot of time converting people to double barrels.
Well, a mutual friend of ours, Jim Fendry, shot lots of side-by-sides. I actually shot a round of Sporting Clays with him one time with Mike Cupy, the attorney. We were at the Highlands, and he was shooting a side-by-side 16-gauge. And about two-thirds of the way through the round, I realized he had not dropped a bird. I don't know if anyone said anything, but that's something you don't do when somebody's running a perfect score in skeet or trap or sporting clays. We might have remarked, I don't know. But anyway, he missed two birds at the next station, and he ended up with a 48 with a 16-gauge side-by-side. And you know, if I can squeak out a 40, I'm doing well on most sporting clays courses. And I did a pheasant hunt with him years ago with a couple of black powder side-by-sides. Have you ever hunted with Jim or shot his guns?
I haven't shot his guns. I've talked to him before. We've discussed this. On the black powder shotgun, I believe that he and Jerry Wachenden, who was a master gunsmith from Wanakee, Wisconsin, assembled those guns, and there were two guns from a set. It's so much fun to do this, and there's so much history involved. The Leopold shotgun, I mean, it was always legendary,
yeah,
but it is really legendary now. In doing the research, one of all the Leopold's great-great-grandnephews called the Leopold Foundation said, I think I found all the Leopold's missing shotgun in my closet.
Mm.
And that's exactly what happened. And the foundation asked me to work on it, to identify the gun and get it back here, and I did. And it's beautiful, beautiful Fox engraved shotgun. It was engraved by William Goh, one of the most famous engravers in history. But the journey was this. I spent days and days and days reading his hunting journals at the center. Leopold was a lot like us. He was a hand loader, was with a friend of his. They went to the Wisconsin River, set up patterning boards, and patterned their shotguns with different kinds of shot and different charges. He ordered the gun with out of safety.
Right, I remember that.
And he complained when he got a new pair of glasses and the new shotgun, and went shooting, it was not doing as well as he wanted. But it was a great story that could have been any of us. You know, we put Leopold on this pedestal. Maybe he should be there, but the part that I like about him is that he's us.
Some of our listeners certainly know that Leopold was an avid hunter, and there are touches of his hunting experience throughout a Sand County Almanac and his other published writings. I have not been exposed to his journals as you have. I'd be interested in reading them sometime.
They are fascinating.
I'll bet they are.
He talks about trials and tribulations with his dog. I don't know if it was the birds he said that made the dog want to eat the birds today.
I think it was Bill Tarrant, the outdoor writer. I remember one story. He said, this German Shorthair was the best bird dog I ever had. We shot a lot of grouse, but we didn't take many home because he always ate the first two. And I told Dave Duffy that story, and he said, yeah, I've heard that. It's probably true. And that short hair might have been related to Gus, Leopold's dog. And you know who did have a direct descendant of Gus? Ken Blomberg. You know Ken, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
I saw Ken at the shack, the Leopold shack, one time. There's some event there, and we were both there, and I hadn't seen him in years, and he's got a dog on a leash, and he's got this very dark German Shorthair. And I said, that dog looks a lot like Gus. And Gus, for listeners who are wondering, what the heck are we talking about, was one of Leopold's dogs. And there's a whole history of where that dog came from that we don't have time to get into. But he said, yeah, this dog is a direct descendant of Gus. And I said, you got to be kidding. And he said, no, that he had done the research, and it was Art Hawkins who provided the background. But he actually, and he doesn't have short hairs now, but he had a short hair line that was directly out of Leopold's dogs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, his dogs were really strong, physically strong animals.
Yeah.
That was typical of a lot of the hunting. German Shorthairs now are athletic and kind of slim, and they hunt real well, but yeah, that's interesting.
You know, my dad had a Lefevre side-by-side, and I inherited that gun, and he hunted pheasants and rabbits and grouse with it for many years. Didn't take care of it the way a good shepherd of shotguns should. And I had a couple of gunsmiths do some work on it. And my friend Roger Williams is the one who did the final job on it. And it is a beautiful gun. It shoots well. It's a 20 gauge. And he opened the chokes because I'm sure it was mod and full. And he opened them to improve cylinder and modified. And that's my grouse gun, my woodcock gun, my rabbit gun in the winter. I hunt rabbits occasionally with that gun. I love it.
Well, those Lefevre shotguns were tough.
Yeah.
They were tough guns. They were a box lock. They were meant to be a tough working man's gun, and they're beautiful. I have a Lefevre 12 gauge that's in great shape. I really like those guns. The L.C. Smiths and the Parkers differed, you know. The Parker would be more along the Lefevre line, and the L.C. Smith is American side lock. Lefevres are good guns. You know what I found in the stock of my Lefevre? I was working on it. The stock had a crack in it when I got it, and I took the buck plate off, and here was a dog license that had been put into the stock.
Oh, my.
The stock bull comes, and it was a tribute to Lucky.
Mm.
So I'm sure the guy, when his dog passed, put the license in the butt stock.
Interesting. Interesting story. One more black powder double gun story. Toby Bridges, who lived in Missouri and hunted in Missouri and Iowa, came to Wisconsin to do a turkey hunt. And he brought a Petter Soli side-by-side that Cabela's sold. And he told me I loaded it. And because it's a muzzleloader, you can take the caps off and you can travel with the gun charged or loaded but not charged. And he said, I shot a turkey in Missouri and I had time in the day, so I drove across the state line and I shot one in Iowa without reloading. So he shot one with the left barrel and then he shot another one with the right barrel. And I said, well, that's a great story. It was fun. He brought that gun to Wisconsin and I did a hunt with him, and I actually shot a turkey in the Northern Kettle Moraine with that gun for Outdoor Wisconsin, again, many years ago. And I wish I could have kept it, but I had to send it on to the next guy. But that was a lot of fun. Well, gosh, Jeff, we could talk all day about double gun, so we'll have you back on sometime, maybe as hunting season approaches, and
I would love to
talk about double guns again. So, all right, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to talk to you. Have a wonderful spring turkey season, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Jeff Nania, folks, conservationist, author of 4 great books in the Northern Lakes Mystery Series. His website is feetwetwriting.com. We'll have him on again. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Introducing the all-new OutdoorNews.com, the most trusted source for all things out of doors in the Great Lakes region, just got better. At OutdoorNews.com, you'll now have full access to every outdoor news story, breaking news and updates, our comprehensive fishing and hunting reports, pro tips, and much more for our 7-state region and beyond. Top hunters and anglers look to Outdoor News to keep them up to date and ahead of the crowd. Now it's easier than ever with the all-new OutdoorNews.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, 7 wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Flo has made world-class recreational and utility trailers for 40 years, and the industry-leading innovations keep on coming. Choose an all-aluminum UT model or Cargo Max, the only utility trailer with a molded polymer bed, integrated sides, and an engineered aluminum frame. With either one, you'll know you don't have just any old trailer. If a new trailer is on your mind, check out FLOEINTL.com. Flo Trailers, where the rubber meets the road.
If your rifle, shotgun, handgun, or muzzleloader needs work this season, call Roger Williams at Northern Magnetic LLC. A licensed professional gunsmith for over 35 years, Roger can repair, customize, rebarrel, install sights and scope mounts, and more on all firearms makes and models. When you need a professional gunsmith, call Roger at 262-339-1798 or visit fixguns.com. That's 262-339-1798 or fixguns.com.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge. And members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library, lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake, and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer 4 seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-Petenwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Petenwell Lakes Association.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend and on the web at cedarlakesales.com. The folks at Cedar Lake Sales remind us that Coast Guard personnel will be on hand May 13th for boat safety checks, and they're offering up to $2,500 instant cash back on new Crestliner Fishhawk, Superhawk, and Visions models. Check the Cedar Lake Sales website or Facebook page for details. We're also brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. Find out about their upcoming DU Expo at duckexpo.com. If our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And last year's Deer Hunt Wisconsin show and a couple previous shows are archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel. If you missed any dates, websites, or phone numbers, you can always listen online at lake-link.com/radio. Our show is now available as a podcast on the new Outdoor News website as well, outdoornews.com/podcast. You can find Jeff on social media at Hardwater Jeff and find me at Dan Small Outdoors. Well, if you're interested in deer hunting and deer management, consider attending the County Deer Advisory Council meeting in your county. They'll be held across Wisconsin from April 24th through May 4th. Details on the DNR website, keywords County Deer Advisory Council or CDAC. As I mentioned earlier, I'll be hosting a trip to Lake of the Woods in September, so tune in next week for more details on how to register. Send me a Facebook message now or email dsoradio@gmail.com if you're interested. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. Warren and friends are presenting a series of concerts this spring, so check their website, warrennelson.com, for details. I'm Dan Small. Jeff Kelm will be back next week. Get outside this weekend and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Adjust that needle valve now. Let's get to the perfect speed. Oh, how I love leaving the shore behind. When the cool night swallows the moose's nose and the heron is fishing on one cold leg, when the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Rick Smith Show.
where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the
WFHR Wisconsin Forest Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field